Warning! Today's story is a children's story. There is no strong language, no adult content, and very little violence. We recommend that mature audiences listen only with the direct supervision of a child.
Escape Pod 109. June 7th, 2007. Today's story, Squink the Apprentice, by P.M. Butler.
Hello, and welcome to Escape Pod. I'm Steve Ely, and this is another Geek Dad intro. With a Squonk story, what else could I do? So, our son Alex is a few months past 2 years old now. He's bigger and more talkative, and he's really starting to show some independence. He's out of the crib now and into his toddler bed, and just last week, he figured out how to work the doorknob that leads out of his room. We really don't need alarm clocks anymore. It's a guarantee that sometime before we're ready to wake up, he'll wander into our room and cheerfully start saying,
"Hi, hi,"
until we're out of bed. Which is fun and funny, the first couple of days. We're also starting to understand what people mean by the terrible twos. Alex isn't terrible most of the time. He is usually smiling and bouncy and having fun, but occasionally he hits that random trigger where something sets him off, and he lays down on the floor and throws a 20-minute screaming fit. Oddly enough, this doesn't stress me or Anna out as much as we thought it would when it was just something we'd heard about. We just wait it out, let him work it out of his system, and carry on with what we were doing when he's done. In a sense, he's really not that different from grown-ups. We all have those moments where we feel a tantrum coming on and just want to lash out. It's not that common for grown-ups to lay down on the floor and yell, but who knows? Maybe the world will be better if we did once in a while. We know our friends and loved ones because they're the ones who will wait that sort of thing out. As long as we also forget to stay mad or hold grudges as well as two-year-olds forget. So, our story this week shouldn't make any kids mad. By popular demand, we present Squonk the Apprentice, by P.M. Butler. This is the sequel to an earlier Escape Pod favorite, Squonk the Dragon. Mr. Butler is a writer and programmer living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he's also the editor of the upcoming anthology Triangulation, End of Time. We'll be talking more about that pretty soon. For word on his many other projects, check out his website, blairhippo.com. The story is once again read by my wife, Anna, and myself. So sit back in your nest and relax. It's story time.
Squonk the Apprentice by P.M. Butler. Wendell the Wizard awoke to find a dragon looking down at him. The beast was so huge it could barely fit its scaly green head through Wendell's bedroom window, which it had apparently just done. It opened a mouth so big it could have gobbled Wendell up in two bites, revealing a row of sharp white teeth the size of swords, and then...
It said, "Hi, Wendell!" Wendell blinked once, twice, while he waited for his heart to slow back down. Wendell had been living near this young dragon for several months, and even though he knew in his head that it was completely harmless, that head had been too busy sleeping to remind the rest of Wendell that there was nothing to worry about. Having every nerve in your body scream, "Run for your life! Dragon!" is not a relaxing way to wake up.
"Good morning, Squonk."
"What you doing?"
"Waking up, apparently."
Wendell sat up and stretched. "What the heck? When a dragon appoints himself your alarm clock, you might as well go along with it."
"Have any good dreams?" Squonk asked. "I dreamed I flew all the way to the moon. Hey, that'd be fun. Can you show me how to fly to the moon?"
Uh-oh. Maybe there was something to worry about after all. Apparently, Squonk was bored. Normally, a bored dragon is an excellent excuse to take a vacation someplace far, far away. Bored dragons usually amuse themselves by burning things down, gobbling things up, or both. They learn this from their parents who, being dragons themselves, see burning down and/or gobbling up a village as just a bit of harmless fun. The villagers would disagree, of course, but they're usually too busy hiding in their dragon-proof underground vaults to make their opinions known. But Squonk's mother was a little bluebird named Mrs. Tweedlechirp. who raised him ever since she found a strange rock-like egg lying unattended in the middle of the forest. Like most forest residents, Mrs. Tweedlechirp disapproved of burning things down. Nor was she in favor of gobbling up anything that could talk back to you. Letting wizards get their sleep, on the other hand, was obviously not something she taught her son to care about.
"Fly to the moon," Wendell said. "Sorry, it's a long way away, and you'd get cold."
"That's okay. I don't get cold so easy."
"Really cold."
Wendell's tone of voice suggested it was the kind of cold even a dragon would find unpleasant, which, to be honest, it was.
"Oh."
Squonk's ears drooped.
"Hey, what did you dream about?"
He perked back up.
"I bet wizards have all sorts of cool dreams."
Wendell yawned, shrugged, and scratched behind his head.
"Not really. Just a stupid dream about apprentices. Nothing exciting."
Actually, nightmare was more accurate than dream. As far as Wendell was concerned, nightmare was the word of choice for anything having to do with apprentices. Clumsy, stupid nitwits, breaking things, getting the spells wrong even after you showed them how to do it right, casting thunderstorm spells indoors no matter how many times you told them to practice outside.
"What's apprentice?"
Without thinking, Wendell answered.
"An apprentice is a young person who wants to be a wizard, so they find an older wizard to teach them."
The moment the words left his mouth, Wendell's heart stopped and his eyes went wide. If he had known a spell that could grab those words and stuff them back down his throat, he would have cast it. Instead, those words scampered all the way across his bedroom, as words are inclined to do, and rushed into the ears of the dragon in the window. Wendell watched in horror as the words sunk into Squonk's brain. Squonk's eyes grew wide. His mouth dropped open, and before Wendell could think of anything to say,
"You can learn to be a wizard? That's awesome! I want to be a wizard! Let me be your apprentice!"
"No!" Wendell wanted to scream. "No, you can't be my apprentice. I hate apprentices. They're annoying. And you're annoying. Becoming my apprentice would make you quite possibly the most annoying creature in the entire world." Instead, all that emerged from Wendell's dry mouth was a faint,
"Yeah?"
"Please, can I be your apprentice?" Squonk started to bounce on his hind legs. "Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please!"
When a dragon starts bouncing up and down, it's usually kind of like having your very own personal earthquake. But Wendell's house didn't even notice, because it wasn't a house at all. Wendell lived inside the largest tree in the entire world. It was a lot of work, using magic to hollow out a home inside an enormous tree, but it was worth it. Most of the time, anyway. The neighbors could be a nuisance, particularly the dragon who lived in the upper branches with his mother. It's important to get along with your neighbors, especially the ones shaped like enormous fire-breathing lizards.
"Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please!"
"Why didn't I build a nice tower?" Wendell thought for the millionth time.
Wendell looked around the room, desperate for an escape.
You can't. Sorry, can't do it. Wish I could teach you, but it just wouldn't work."
Squonk looked crestfallen.
"Why not?"
That was a good question.
Because
you're a dragon? Nonsense! Dragons actually made scary good wizards when they bothered to learn magic. Because you're too young? Well, he just said apprentices start young, didn't he? Because... His gaze fell on the corner of the room, where he persuaded a tiny bit of tree to grow into the shape of a dresser.
There it was.
Because you don't have a hat.
What?
Wendell's breathing got deeper. His heart stopped trying to run so fast.
No hat, he said. Sorry, can't be a wizard without a good hat.
Wendell got up, put on his tattered blue wizard's hat, and modeled it.
"Oh," Squonk said. You don't have a hat I could borrow, do you?"
Wendell forced his face into a frown.
"I'm terribly sorry, but I don't have anything that would fit a dragon."
Squonk pulled his head out of the window and slunk away.
Crisis over, Wendell thought,
feeling very pleased with himself.
Squonk lay next to a stream, staring at the trees reflected in the water, thinking, "How do you make a wizard's hat?" He didn't think he had a wizard's hat, so he flown back home to ask Mom about it, and yep, no hat. Then Mom had wanted to know why he was looking for a hat, which was nerve-wracking because she was always saying wizards were nothing but trouble, and Squonk didn't think she'll like him trying to be one himself. But he had to tell her. He was a lousy liar, and besides, he never heard a lie that Mom couldn't see right through. Not even a harmless little fib about why he was looking for a wizard's hat. Luckily, she thought Squonk and Wendell were just playing some kind of game. He still didn't have a hat, though. Okay, what did a hat look like? What did it do?
It was tall and pointy, and it sat on your head. He jerked his head up when he saw something tall and pointy reflected in the water. A pine tree, he thought, looking at a small pine near the stream. Yes! Now all he had to do was get it on his head, and he'd be all set. He trotted over to it. Hello? He put his head down close to the tree. Anybody in there? Squonk knew most of the local forest critters by name, and always made sure he didn't accidentally do something that might hurt them.
Yes, there is somebody here, thank you very much, a small voice tittered. Squonk sighed. A squirrel named Cheep Cheep Tick Tick. Squonk tried to get along with squirrels, but it wasn't easy. Squirrels were exhausting. You had to say everything you wanted to say all in one breath. Otherwise, they got bored and forgot what you were talking about. He thought of what he wanted to say, took a deep breath, and...
Hi there, Cheep Cheep Tick Tick. My name is Squonk. If you don't mind, I'd like to use this tree as a hat.
A tiny brown face poked out of the branches and looked at him. Hello there, Squonk. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Trees go in the ground, not on your head.
Deep breath.
Yes, but I want to use this tree as a hat anyway.
So how are you going to get it out of the ground?
Not so deep breath.
Dragon.
The squirrel looked him up and down and nodded. All right, go ahead.
Squonk waited for him to vacate the tree.
He didn't.
Deep breath.
Don't you want to get out of the tree? You might get hurt.
Nope, this sounds like fun. Want to see what happens next?
Ah, Chip Chip Tick Tick was bored. Well, Squonk could understand that.
Hang on.
He reached under the tree, grabbed the trunk, and gave it a good hard yank. It came out of the ground as easy as, well, as easy as a tree getting yanked out of the ground by a dragon. That was simple. Now to put it on his head. That, it turned out, was not so simple.
Wendell crossed his arms and scowled. That's not a hat. That's a tree.
Ha ha ha, told you. Cheep, cheep, tick, tick, said from inside Squonk's princess hat.
It is so,
Squonk said, careful to hold his head very, very still. Oh, yes? Do this. Wendell nodded his head a couple of times. Very, very carefully, Squonk nodded his head once. The tree slipped a bit. And this. Wendell shook his head.
Squonk very slowly moved his head from side to side. He hoped Wendell got done testing his hat soon. It was about to fall off again.
Goodness gracious! Wendell pointed at something behind Squonk. What's that?
Squonk whipped his head around and the tree went flying. He figured out he'd been tricked as his hat crashed to the ground. Again!
He turned back around to look at Wendell, holding his head low. Dragons can't blush, but Squonk was certainly trying. Not a hat, Wendell said.
Squonk knew that voice. It was the voice Mom used when they were done talking about whatever it was they were talking about. Squonk flew home.
Stupid not staying on my head tree, Squonk grumbled, tucking a bit of nest back into place.
What was that, dear?
He sighed.
Nothing, Mom.
He wove a long, thin branch between a couple of the larger ones supporting the nest. He didn't have anything better to do, certainly nothing cool like becoming a wizard, so he figured he may as well help Mom keep their home in good shape. Mom was always saying that a nest would fall to pieces on you if you weren't careful.
She flew onto his shoulder and looked down at what he was doing. Very nice, she said. That looks sturdy.
Thanks.
You've gotten very good at nest building.
Why, you hardly ever ask for my help anymore. You hardly ever need it.
Aw, Mom.
He smiled a bit. Squonk did know a thing or two about building nests. Truth be told, he was the one who'd built most of this nest. Mom wasn't up to hauling around the kind of branches Squonk needed. Too bad he knew so much about nest making, but didn't know anything about making hats.
His head jerked up as the solution pounced on his brain. Startled, Mom flew off his shoulder.
Are you all right, dear?
That's it.
He leaped out of the nest and took to the air.
Mrs. Tweedlechirp watched her boy fly away and rolled her eyes. Dragons grew up slower than birds, but they did it pretty much the same way.
Gracious, they get so scatterbrained at that age, she muttered.
Wendell looked up at Squonk in horror. That was a hat.
Granted, it was woven from twigs and branches, a few of which still had leaves on them, and it was a bit wider and flatter than you'll normally expect from a wizard's hat. But there was no sense trying to pretend otherwise. Squonk now had a perfectly good hat.
So, Wendell said, stalling for time, you made that yourself. Squonk nodded enthusiastically. The hat stayed firmly, depressingly affixed to the top of his head.
Yup, hat making is just like nest making, only you make it smaller and upside down.
Wendell sighed. Well, at least this one doesn't have a squirrel in it. Squonk shook his head, which, sadly, did not cause the hat to come flying off.
Nope. Chip Chip Tick Tick got bored and ran off when I stopped trying to wear that silly tree.
If only dragons got discouraged so easily.
So, can I be apprentice now? Can I?
Yes. Wendell looked around desperately. Come on, think. Squonk's face lit up. Just as soon as...
Yes?
You...
Something hard. Something boring. Something that a dragon would be bad at.
Yes?
Wendell's gaze rested on a nearby shrub that was starting to bloom.
Pick me some flowers.
Squonk smiled.
All right. No problem.
Not just any flowers. Wendell wagged a finger and suppressed a triumphant grin. Part of being a wizard is making potions, you see. But a lot of potion ingredients are tough to come by. I want you to pick me some sapphire orchids for a very special potion I'd like to brew. Actually, he didn't have any particular potion in mind, but sapphire orchids were the key ingredient to any number of fabulous magical concoctions. They were wonderful that way.
Okay. What's a sapphire orchid?
It's a small flower with 5 petals, blue, with a silver line running down the middle of each. They're about the size of the palm of my hand, and they tend to grow high up in trees.
And while Squonk was pondering this, Wendell thought to himself, they're also incredibly rare, not liable to be found in any tree big enough for a dragon to perch on, and much too small for you to pick with those enormous claws of yours.
Sapphire orchids. Got it.
As Squonk flew away, Wendell was feeling very pleased with himself. Again.
It took Squonk a week to find those stupid flowers. He figured out in a hurry that there was too much forest for one dragon to search alone. He recruited his bird friends to keep an eye out for those little blue and silver flowers, which finally led him to Mr. and Mrs. Cheepideek's oak tree. The Cheepideeps were a pair of robins who had known his mother for a very long time and had even helped Mrs. Tweedlechirp take care of him when he was little. He flew out, they loved his hat, and asked if they'd mind him picking some flowers from their tree.
No problem, kid, Mr. Cheepideep said. Knock yourself out.
Permission, it turned out, was a lot easier to get than those dumb flowers. They were too high off the ground for him to reach up and pluck. There weren't many trees in the forest big enough to handle a dragon landing in their branches, and Squonk could tell from looking that the Cheepideek's oak was not one of them. So that left a trick his hummingbird friends had taught him. Hovering. He'll fly in place, pluck off a few flowers, and be on his way. Squonk flew up to the flowers and started flapping his wings as fast as he could. He'd been practicing, so that was very fast indeed. And that's where things started to go very, very wrong.
Dragon wings move an awful lot of air when they flap, and a dragon impersonating a hummingbird is like a small hurricane. The wind blasted leaves from the tree, knocked petals off the flowers.
Gyaw!
Squonk grabbed as many as he could before they were all completely destroyed. Now, a dragon's forelimbs are very versatile body parts. If the dragon is trundling around on the ground, they're perfectly good front legs. But in a pinch, they double as arms. The toes are long and flexible enough that the dragon can use them as fingers. Fingers with very thick, sharp fingernails, mind, but fingers just the same.
They are not, however, small fingers. They're not much good at fiddly, delicate work with small objects, like, for instance, flowers smaller than the palm of a wizard's hand.
Which Squonk learned after he landed.
After he caught his breath, hovering really took a lot out of a guy. He looked at his paw, expecting to see little flowers. Instead, he found wood chips and a whole bunch of flowery little bits that had been crushed to pieces.
Aw, twig berries, he said, adjusting his hat. Then he flinched. He hoped Mom wouldn't hear he'd cursed.
What? Came a tweetering voice from above him. The flightless, cat-fanged tree snake was that?
Squonk winced, both from Mr. Cheepadeep's enraged tone and salty language. He'd be in so much trouble if he said something like that. He looked up. Half the Cheepadeep's nest was missing, as were most of the feathers on Mr. Cheepadeep's head and back. Ever seen a bald robin before? It's not a pretty sight. Mrs. Cheepadeep came flying back to the half nest in wobbly loop-de-loops as though she were extremely dizzy.
Sorry, Squonk said, meaning it. It was an accident.
Mr. Cheepadeep's reply was so rude it's not worth repeating.
I think you better just go, Mrs. Cheepadeep said when her husband paused for breath. So Squonk flew off. He didn't get very far before he had to land. His wings were sore, the way they always were after a good hover. So he started walking back to his tree. He needed time to think anyway. Oh, when Mom heard about this.
He came to a wide, grassy clearing that seemed like a perfect place for a tired, frustrated dragon to lie down and think about what to do next. So he did.
Hey there, big guy, said a slow, familiar voice from below. What's that on your head?
Squonk looked down and saw a raccoon named Slowfingers.
Hey, you fingers.
Squonk cheered up a bit. Slowfingers was one of his best friends.
Slowfingers didn't like most other raccoons. They tended to make fun of him because they thought he was a dimwit. This was mean, and Squonk had come to realize not at all true. Granted, Slowfingers was, well, slow. Ask him a question, and instead of the quick, clever answer you got out of most raccoons, he'd just stand there and think about it. But the thing was, when Fingers did finally get around to answering you, his answer was usually a pretty darn good one. How are you doing, Squonk?
Squonk sighed.
Tired. I'm trying to become a wizard, but it sure is hard.
Fingers looked surprised. You can become a wizard?
Yep.
Fingers' face twisted in thought. Well, he finally said, isn't that a heck of a thing? Myself, I've never wanted to be anything other than a raccoon. Seemed to make the most sense. But learning how to be something else altogether. Wow. I bet that must be hard.
Tell me about it.
Squonk rolled his eyes. And then he told Fingers all about trying to become Wendell's prentice. And the hat, which, after due consideration, Slowfingers said looked very nice. And the flowers. Squonk left out the bit about shredding the Cheepadeep's nest. He still felt bad about it.
Slowfingers walked over to get a better look at Squonk's foreleg. I think I see your problem. He nodded at a paw that was as big as his entire everything. Those toes of yours, they must not be very good flower-picking fingers.
Nope, Squonk sighed, flexing his paw.
Unless it was a huge flower.
And these are definitely small flowers.
Fingers nodded. That is a puzzler.
Too bad you're not trying to be Wendell's apprentice. I bet you could.
A thought hit him so hard he had to turn his head to one side.
Say, Fingers, do you suppose you could do a favor for me?
Slowfingers stared up at him for a moment. Then his eyes went a little wide, and he sat up and looked at his own hands. You know, these would be good flower-picking fingers.
That afternoon, Squonk learned why a wizard needs a hat. So that if you have to carry a raccoon across the forest, he'll have some place to ride.
Squonk was reluctant to go back. He wasn't looking forward to another tongue-lashing from Mr. Cheepadeep. Luckily, the Cheepadeeps chose to ignore him completely. It's not easy to ignore something the size of a dragon, but they managed. They even managed to make the silence sting more than Mr. Cheepadeep's coarse vocabulary. Squonk put Slowfingers in the highest branch he could reach and watched his friend climb the rest of the way. "Wow," Fingers said halfway up. "Was there a thunderstorm I missed? 'Cause it looks like this tree got hit by a tornado."
Squonk lowered his head.
No. No tornado.
Huh. Guess not. Would have hit more trees, wouldn't it?
Squonk felt the Cheepadeeps flinging more devastating silence his way.
A while later, Fingers shouted, "Okay, I'm here. Whoa, buddy. You really took a chunk out of this tree."
The Cheepadeeps now bore down with a tight, penetrating silence that pierced his head.
"Yeah, that'd be the place."
The only way for Squonk to hold his head any lower would have been to dig a hole for it. Which didn't sound like a bad idea, come to think of it.
"Are any of those flowers left?"
"Yep, looks like you missed a few."
"Good,"
Squonk mumbled. Holding a bunch of flowers in his mouth, Fingers climbed back down to where Squonk could reach him. It wasn't easy for Squonk to stand back up. The Cheepadeeps were piling on the heavy, crushing silence.
"Becoming apprentice is hard," he thought, as he put Fingers back into his hat. "Thanks, Fingers."
"Anytime." At least his wings were rested enough to fly back home now. He took to the sky. "Say, Squonk," Fingers later asked from inside the wizard's hat.
"Yes?"
Did you do that hovering thing the first time you tried to get those flowers?"
"Yes," he confessed.
"Ah."
Wendell had seen and done many strange, weird things in his life. It went with the job. If you have a problem with strange or weird, you should stay far away from magic.
But a raccoon climbing out of a dragon's woven twigs and branches hat, waddling across the ground, and handing him several priceless sapphire orchids? That was a new one.
He said, looking at the blue blossoms in his hand. Elation at having such a rare, useful potion ingredient fought with the apprehension of taking Squonk as an apprentice, and was coming up firmly on the losing side. He repeated.
"So do I get to be apprentice now?"
"Yes." Wendell kicked his mind back into stump the dragon mode. "But..."
"There's something else I have to do, isn't there?"
Squonk eyed him shrewdly. Having a dragon eye you shrewdly is never a pleasant experience. It's like being a mouse watched by a lion.
"Yes."
Wendell realized that he only had one more shot at this. Whatever the last task was, it needed to be a doozy. Wow, where had Squonk learned to be suspicious? That belligerent little bluebird had raised the smart... Aha! He had it. The perfect challenge. The one thing Squonk absolutely, positively could not do.
"Yes, one last thing, and we start your training."
"What is it?"
"It was brilliant."
"You need..."
"Yes?"
"It was stupendous."
"To get me..."
"What?"
Squonk started to bounce. The tension was driving him nuts.
"It could not possibly fail."
your mother's permission.
Squonk's face fell.
What?
Sorry, but you can't be an apprentice without your mother's permission.
Which Mrs. Tweedlechirp would never, ever, ever give. She hated Wendell. He could hear her twittering voice in his head right now. Nothing but trouble, wizards. Her loathing of him was as reliable as the sun rising in the east, as consistent as the stars in the sky. She despised him and would never, ever let him teach her boy anything. Not in a million years.
Oh, Squonk said. His face said he'd come to the exact same conclusion.
Maybe we could, you know, not exactly tell Mom?
Wendell gave a firm, unmistakable no, using only his eyes. Squonk's shoulders slumped as he jumped back into the air, beginning the long flight back up the enormous tree to the nest he shared with his mother.
And Wendell watched him go, supremely confident that Squonk would remain a nuisance, but not one he was responsible for teaching. That raccoon was still staring at him.
What?
The raccoon shrugged and waddled back into the forest. Yet again, Wendell felt very pleased with himself.
You'd think he'd learn.
Wendell was tending his garden a half hour later when Squonk landed near him. The dejected look on Squonk's face told him everything he needed to know.
You asked?
Squonk nodded.
Yup. And?
And the sun rose in the north?
And the stars abandoned their places in the sky and played Red Rover with each other.
And a million years passed in the blink of an eye.
All right. Actually, none of those things happened. But Wendell thought all of them were more likely than what really happened.
Mom said yes.
Wendell stood, slack-jawed, unable to move a muscle.
Anyway, Mom says I have to go help out the Cheepadeeps. Help them rebuild their nest if they'll let me. Otherwise, I have to dig for worms and find berries and stuff to make up for what I did. Until they say I can stop. That might take me a while.
His ears flickered hopefully.
But once I'm done with that, I get to be your apprentice, right?
Wendell somehow managed to make his head nod once. Twice.
Squonk brightened a little more.
Great! Okay, I better get to work. I'll see you later.
And he flew away.
A while later, a long while later, Wendell finally came to his senses.
She said yes?
He squeaked to nobody in particular. It couldn't be possible. But Squonk was such a terrible liar. He couldn't have been making it up, could he? Time to get to the bottom of this. Time to get the sun back in the east, get all those unruly stars back where they belonged. He disguised himself as a bird and started flying up.
Hello, Mr. Wizard, Mrs. Tweedlechirp said, voice icy, the moment he landed on the edge of her nest.
How did you know it was me?
Because I know every bird in this forest, and none of them have a robin's head, a sparrow's beak, and an oriole's winter feathers in the middle of summer.
Oh.
So, you're going to teach my boy how to become a wizard, are you?
Yes. In fact, that's what I'm here to ask you about.
You probably want to know why I'm allowing it.
Given that the only time you ever say wizard is followed by nothing but trouble, yes, I'm a bit surprised.
It's... Oh, for goodness sake, would you change yourself back into a wizard? Everything about you is mismatched. You're not at all pleasant to look at right now.
He fluttered down to a spot in the nest that looked comfy and got rid of the disguise. Strange experience, being in a bird's nest built for a dragon. Better?
Much, she said, a little of the edge gone from her voice. Now, as I was saying, I have my reasons. In fact, I was hoping I could ask, she swallowed. I was wondering if you could do me a favor.
Her voice was a little strained with the effort of being nice to him.
A favor?
When you teach him to be a wizard, don't just teach him to be a wizard. Teach him about the world, everything you can.
Why?
Because,
her tiny feathered chest heaved in a sigh,
Because I can't.
Huh?
I'm just a simple little bird. I know how to be a bird. I know this tree and most of the forest. And there's quite a bit to know, mind. But that's all. Nothing more. And I fear that's not good enough for my son. As I'm sure you've already noticed, he is a dragon.
Yes, I spotted that.
And sooner or later, he's going to fly beyond this forest. When he does, I can't tell him one blessed thing about what he can expect to find out there, save the usual rumors you get from migrating flocks. I'm perfectly content to hunt for worms and berries, build nests, raise more little birds. But it seems pretty silly to expect that's all he'll want from life, doesn't it?
Wendell nodded. Can't argue with you there.
So, I can't tell him what's out there. You can. I can teach him how to be a bird. You can teach him how to be a wizard.
She gave a tiny little birdie shudder.
A situation I regard as less than ideal, but it's not like he can learn to be a badger or a woodchuck, can he? And given that otherwise he'll be naturally inclined towards being a dragon.
Now it was Wendell's turn to shudder. Yes, Squonk was annoying, but every other dragon he'd ever met in his life was mean, selfish, rude, arrogant, and downright terrifying. Squonk wasn't just the nicest dragon he'd ever met. Squonk was the only nice dragon he'd ever heard of.
I believe I see your point, madam.
Under the circumstances, he may as well become a wizard.
Wendell nodded. It was more work for him, but...
All right. I'll spend half the time teaching him wizarding, half teaching him other stuff.
Thank you, Mr. Wizard.
And not all day. I have a life of my own, you know. I'll teach him from noon until the sun goes down. After and before, I get that time to myself.
Agreed.
And every fifth day, I have off. No teaching at all.
Mrs. Tweedletrip scowled a bit, but finally nodded.
Very well.
And that's how Squonk became a wizard's apprentice. Of course, classes didn't start right away. Mr. and Mrs. Cheepadeep were quite upset with Squonk, and it took him a week or so to make amends. That week turned out to be more than enough time for certain ideas to bounce around in a certain raccoon's mind, eventually leading him to a conclusion.
If a dragon can learn to be a wizard, why can't a raccoon? After all, he was an awful raccoon. All the other raccoons said so. May as well give something else a try. He shared his idea with a few other friends, and that led to all kinds of creatures getting ideas of their own.
And building upside-down nests.
And doing a bit of tree climbing and flower picking. Because... if a dragon and a raccoon could be wizards, why not bears, or bats, or woodchucks, or squirrels?
Well, okay, not squirrels. Definitely not squirrels. Regardless, Wendell found a huge surprise waiting for him on the first day of class.
But that's another story.
And that was our story. There really are a lot of pressures on wizards today. With increasing classroom sizes, shorter summers, and poor pay and benefits, I'm wondering if the next chapter will be the one where Wendell unionizes. So, 3 weeks ago we ran a rather complex story by Ben Rosenbaum, the Hugo-nominated The House Beyond Your Sky. This was another mixed response piece. Many people love the grand concept here. Roni gave it a best story ever review, and Elizabeth said it was, quote, absolutely beautiful. It puts the listener off center in a way that only the very best SF can do. Many of its fans did agree that it was complex but worth it, whereas those who didn't like it felt it was complex but not worth it. Some, such as Tiffany, said they found the audio easier to follow after reading the text of Strange Horizons. And V. Byrne and Martin agreed that the piece was too abstract to be well-suited to audio. Wakayla, in what I believe was intended as criticism, said, "This story felt like running through a cathedral." But the quote of the week goes to Nobilis, who said, "This story is a chicken. I am being asked to eat it, but I do not have a fire, and I do not have time to build one before the chicken has gone. So, thanks to everyone who responded. By the way, you've probably noticed that last week wraps up our Hugo nominees. The fifth story, Neil Gaiman's How to Talk to Girls at Parties, we were unable to get rights for, but you can download an audio reading by Gaiman himself on his website, neilgaiman.com. Voting runs through the end of July 31st, and if you're going to Worldcon or supporting it, I highly encourage you to check out the nominees and the other categories and vote for all of your favorites. This is the one award in science fiction decided by fans, and it does shape the industry. So if you have the power to vote, please do. Escape Pod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated and is distributed on a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. All other rights are reserved by our authors. If you enjoyed this piece, please tell a friend. And if you can, help us continue to support our authors by clicking the PayPal link at our site. All of our podcasts are listener-supported, including our horror podcast, Pseudopod, and the new fantasy podcast, which, yes, has a name and a staff, and I'll be sharing the details in just a few days. Our music is by permission of Daikaiju, rocking all the woodland animals at daikaiju.org. That was our show for this week. Our closing quotation comes from Albert Einstein, who said, "Education is what remains after one has forgotten everything he learned in school." We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have fun.